the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Would you bring up the map on the screen for me, please? We'll go on and talk a little bit about this event. Let me grab these. This is a map that tells you where the wise men came from, how far they had to come. I think it's part for us to get an idea about this because we realize this was no just little jaunt around the corner. It's not like they were going 5 minutes down to church or 20 minutes down to church. It took them a long time. They were going about 900 miles, it's estimated. The Magi were a priestly caste in the Persian Empire and then part of the Parthian Empire that came later. And they were wise men. They were not kings, but they were king makers. And you'll see as part of the story, that's a little bit of what made Jerusalem nervous when they show up. We don't know exactly where they were from because the east could refer to, you know, all over here. But it's likely that since they were Magi, which was this priestly caste, then they probably came from a main population center. A population center where there were a lot of Jews. Because the Jews had gone into captivity and were sent off to Babylon. And during this time and the time a couple of hundred years before when the northern tribes were sent into captivity by Assyria, the prophets began to speak the word of the Lord about what God was going to do with Israel. You folks, you've got what was coming to you. I've been telling you for hundreds of years that if you did your own thing, that if you worshiped idols, if you forgot me, it'd end up not going well for you, and it didn't. But the Lord was very patient in that, but they went into captivity. First, the northern tribes, and then a couple hundred years later, off to Babylon. But a lot of Jews got pretty comfortable. Think about it. They were there in Babylon for about 70 years. That had been prophesied by Jeremiah that they would be. Daniel recognized that and began praying. And then he got scoop from the Lord on God's purposes and how long it would take to fulfill those purposes with his people Israel. And he was told, yeah, they're going to go back. And they did go back, but not everybody. 70 years' time. Think about it. You're born, let's say, 2 years after the arrival into Babylon. You're one of the ones that were born in Babylon. Well, by the time they went back, you would be 68. You and your kids would know Babylon is home. And Babylon was quite a city. It has the wonders of the world there. Okay, so a lot of Jews stayed behind, and that's true of a number of these major centers throughout the East, the Medo-Persian Empire, and later the there was the Alexander the Great spread, and then there was the Parthian Empire that plays a role, and the Parthian Empire kind of covered all this area in there. All right, so that's a little background. These wise men, magi is from the word from which we get magician, and they had some great wisdom to them. They studied the stars. At that time, astrology and astronomy were together. You didn't separate, you know, religious stuff from science. It was all went together. And so they had a habit of looking at the stars, and they noticed a difference, and that's got their attention to come. But what set the background is that as they're in the East, these Jewish learning centers, they would be exposed to the writings of the prophets. So they would have heard, and undoubtedly, as learned men they were, they would have studied what these Jews believed, and they read the prophets, and the prophets foretold a coming king. In fact, the interesting thing is right at the time of Jesus, there was an understanding in the Eastern world that out of Judah would arise a king. Listen to this. This is from Suetonius, who was a Roman historian, early Roman historian. He said, throughout the whole of the East, there had spread an old and persistent belief. Now, mind you, this guy's not a follower of the Lord. Throughout the East, there had spread an old and persistent belief that destiny had decreed that at that time, men coming forth from Judea would seize power and rule the world. Judea. What? Judea. But that understanding spread. And part of the reason for that is in Numbers chapter 24, I believe verse 17, Balaam, who was a prophet used by God, he wasn't really, to my understanding, a follower of the Lord, but Beor, a king of an opposing nation who wanted a curse placed upon Israel, enlisted Balaam to do that, and the Lord prevented him from giving a curse and rather gave a blessing. And in that blessing, he spoke of a star from Jacob rising. And that was understood as a messianic reference. And so that understanding, they were looking for this star to rise. Another piece of background is that in the Bible, angels and stars are often connected. I think there's a lot more to that than what we realize, but just take that for right that. So sometimes angels were referred to as stars, and that's a little background as well. And the stars would give guidance. And remember how the Lord used the pillar of fire by night and the cloud, the pillar of cloud by day, really the Lord's glorious cloud to show the people where to go. And so the Lord used different things to guide his people. So there's debate as to what the nature of this star was. As we read again the story, it makes sense that this might not have been merely an astronomical phenomenon, which, by the way, there are studies out there that show that like in 7 BC and 5 BC, there were astronomical phenomena that were unusual. Big conjunctions of planets like Jupiter that would have gotten their attention. But there are other things about this story that say maybe it was an angelic work. And of course, I would offer it could be both. But you know what? Matthew wasn't overly concerned about giving us the scoop on that. He just tells us there was a star. Because there's a more important focus herein, and that is that these magi, these wise men who are Gentiles, foreigners, come all this way. They came likely this, if they were from Babylon, they would come up the Euphrates, and then the king's way would come down here. And you see, that was a whole trade route to Egypt. Another one came down here and would go west of that, right, of course, by the Sea of Galilee where Jesus lived and would come down the coast to this point. Likely they came down here and came to Jerusalem. That would have been the shorter route. But that's about 900 miles. Ezra brought Israelites back from Babylon. Now, he had a big group, so it undoubtedly take longer. But it took them 3 months. So it took the Magi some time. Question is, how many Magi? We don't know. The Eastern Church has a tradition of 12. The Western has 3. We have 3 because of the 3 gifts. But the coming of these wise men brought fear in Israel. And so likely the fear came because of this large contingent. These wealthy, important, powerful leaders in the East took a caravan to the west to call on this king. And you can imagine many camels, can you not, of these people coming. Even if it was just the 3 wise men, they would have their contingent with them. But it was likely quite a bit more and quite a journey to get there. And they would look wealthy. And coming from the east would be a bit scary too, because they come from an eastern power. And they're under the oppression of a western power. And they don't want to be looking like they're aligning themselves with this eastern power. What's Rome going to say when these people show up here? And the story that we get is that they were afraid. Would you look at the story with me? Matthew chapter 2. This is on page 1026. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews?" There's the big emphasis that Matthew is making here. Because these Gentiles are just matter-of-factly saying, "Where is this king of the Jews who was just born?" And the leaders are saying, "What? And how did you guys know this?" Well, because there was a star. Okay, when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Because they came, these wise men came to worship him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, Herod inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. And they told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Now let's pause there for a second. So here's Micah. It's Micah chapter 5 this prophecy comes from. But it's consistent with other prophecies that are spoken about a coming ruler. And as you piece those prophecies together, that you see this coming ruler is from Ancient of Days, meaning he's got some connection, divine connection with God. So he's not just another king. And in fact, the prophet Ezekiel speaks of himself coming to shepherd his people. "I will come and shepherd my people." And there ended up being an association between that and the Messiah. And of course, you and I know here today that Jesus is that Messiah who is the Son of the living God, who is the shepherd of Israel, and he is our good shepherd. But that's more sermon another time. But that's who he is, and that's what's being revealed here. As Matthew unfolds this story in his gospel, he's unfolding who this Jesus is. He's the king of the Jews. And so there's all this association going on in their mind, especially connected with prophetic texts like this. So the scribes, who were the lawyers of their day, they were the experts in the law, the basis of the law being scriptures, they knew what the Bible said about the coming king, the Messiah. And these wise men now are getting the scoop about where he is to be born. And they're saying it's happened because we saw a star that's led us. And what's Herod's response? "What is this?" And all of Jerusalem, all the leaders it's really talking about, were upset. Now, wait a second, time out. What are you upset about? This has been foretold through your prophets for hundreds of years. You all say you're looking forward to his coming. And yet you're troubled? It's a very important lesson for us. A lot of these folks were religious, but they were not really interested in God's purpose or plan. They were fine with their own lifestyle the way it was, and I don't need some Messiah showing up and changing my life. And I'm telling you, that's characteristic of many people in the world today. It's very interesting, this religious scoop, but I don't really care to be bothered with it. But then there are others who are like the wise men who are seeking. And you've seen that sticker, "Wise men still seek him." It's the truth. But not everybody does. There are plenty of folks, it's like, "Don't confuse me with the facts." And yet, there are many people to whom, if the facts are shared with them, like the wise men, they will seek after him. So just as we go along here, it's an important observation to make. And Herod reigned from 37 BC to 4 BC. And he was a ruthless leader, and he actually wasn't even a Jew, though he's called King of the Jews. He was from the Edomites. You've heard of the Edomites? Descendants of Esau. Who was Esau? The half-brother of Jacob. And they got in real conflict, right? And Jacob got the blessing and Esau didn't. And Esau and his gang down southwest of the Dead Sea, that's where their dwelling was. It's often referred to as being an Idumean. It's another word for Edomites. So Herod, and I won't go through the story of how he got to, but very politically maneuvering, smart guy. He's the one that was the architect behind the building of the temple, the restoration and rebuilding of the temple. Most beautiful building in the world at that time. It was an awesome sight. Smart man, but an evil heart. Because as we see, as we read here, he lies to the wise men and says, okay, guys, this is what the scribes say from Scripture. So go look for him in Bethlehem. And Bethlehem's about 4 miles away from Jerusalem. Go down there, check it out. If you find him, come tell me, because I'll go worship him too. Because, this Messiah deserves worship from everybody. So it would seem obvious that all Jews should worship him, right? But what was he doing? Well, let's first see what they do. They go on, after listening to the king, they go on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. That's a little unusual for, it seems to me, a conjunction of planets. Again, an astronomer I'm not, but somehow here they were led to this tiny place. Let's remember that Bethlehem itself was probably only several hundred people. It was small. Today it's only 29,000, even though it seems very dense. And the home, remember we talk about Jesus being born in a stable. Well, the stable was usually right connected with the house. You had a cave. They would build out from the cave some dwelling place, and in the back, the animals would be kept, or in a lower part below the house. So somewhere there is where this couple went. And how did they go there? If you remember, Caesar Augustus made a decree that the world should be taxed, and they were to go to their hometown. And David, being a descendant of Joseph, being a descendant of David, went back to the city of David, Bethlehem. That's where David was born. And a lot of shepherding there. And you can imagine all these people going back to Bethlehem that were descendants of that line. They're going, and Bethlehem is packed, and they didn't have a Holiday Inn. And so when it says that they went to the, there was no place in the inn for them, really means there was no place in the house. Because what happened is the relatives would come and they'd go stay with their relatives till they went through all of this. Okay, a little background there. But we're told in this event that when the wise men showed up, it says they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy, and going into the house, they saw the child with Mary. So by this time, Mary, Joseph, and the babe were in a house. They weren't in the stable. So some room opened up for them. It also tells you that the pictures, the images we have of these three wise men at the little manger are not really accurate. We've kind of, put all those incidences together. But this happened sometime later. This also tells us something about the timing of Jesus' birth. Before Christ and in the year of our Lord, B.C. and A.D. are supposed to be centered on, the birth of Christ. The problem is the person who first established that calendar got it wrong. Happens. And actually, it looks like Jesus must have been born between 6 B.C. and 4 B.C. It changes our calculations a little bit, doesn't it? And why do we know this? Because we know that Herod died in 4 B.C. and Jesus was born before Herod died. And Herod, in hearing how long it had been that the wise men were coming, had been searching, had all the children in Bethlehem, actually, all the boys, 2 years of age and less, murdered. That tells you something about Herod, doesn't it? But see, he would murder his own family in order to protect his throne. And he did so. So you think about this story, you've got quite the characters, don't you? You get these leaders, these smart guys, these kingmakers from the east, traveling all this way, taking all that effort and expense to come worship what? A little boy, a toddler. Think about it. Any of you have toddlers? They came and worshiped this toddler. And it says they worshiped him. And they gave him gifts, expensive gifts. And then you have the baby himself, of course, who is the King of Kings. And then you have Herod. And Herod being wicked. But the identity of who this king is really important for us. If we've established that he is the Messiah, and for anybody who's really seeking after him, if you want to know whether Jesus is who he claims to be, who the church has claimed him to be, who the Bible claims him to be, the evidence is there. Frankly, if looked at fairly, it's overwhelming. And it was overwhelming to the Magi just on the basis of the word of the prophets. The prophets told of this coming king. But the prophets also told of Gentiles worshiping him. So before I close, I want to tie in these other scripture passages that we have today. And that is that the Old Testament passage, Isaiah 60, speaks of the Gentiles coming to worship. Let me read a portion to you. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. And nations shall come to your light. That's what Gentiles mean. And nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. A multitude of camels shall cover you. Can you see those who knew Scripture thinking, look at all those camels. Look at those kingmakers who had to look pretty rich. They're showing up here. This is what the prophet said. And they shall bring gold and frankincense and shall bring good news. Well, that's just one example. Then in the Psalm 72 for today. This is why these passages were selected. It says in verse 10, the kings of Tarshish and of the isles shall pay tribute. Tarshish is some way off place. Some believe it's the British Isles, but at least it's like España or where out. I mean, it's way out there. And the isles always refers to the coastlands and the far off islands. And the kings of Arabia, so way off that way to the west are going to come. And east, the kings of Arabia and Saba offer gifts. And all kings shall bow down before him, and all the nations do him service. For he shall deliver the poor who cries out in distress, etc. He's the Prince of Peace, and all the nations will come to him. And that's repeated over and over in the prophets. I've got a whole list of passages. I won't go through them. They're there. So, as they're seeing this happening in their midst, if anybody's listening and paying attention to the prophets, what Matthew is recording here is amazing. This has been fulfilled in our midst. But our Ephesians passage is applicable to us as well. You see, because we're the nations, aren't we? We may have here in our midst those who have Jewish background. Praise the Lord if we do. But most of us are of Gentile background. We're of the nations. And what happened there in the wise men coming is for us. But it's even more. Because Scripture has foretold that the Gentiles would worship him. But St. Paul says this in Ephesians. I'll just use this. He speaks of a mystery. And the mystery is that the Gentiles don't just come to worship him, but are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the same promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. It has been a sad thing seeing Israel and the church, the Jews and Christians, in competition with each other. What Paul says elsewhere is that the two are made one. The two men are made into one man. St. Paul says elsewhere in Romans 9 through 11 that the Gentiles have been grafted onto Israel. So the mystery Paul's talking about is that we don't just come as lowly people in the world to worship whom we should rightfully worship, but this one whom we worship has raised us up to be one with his historic people, that all of us are his heirs. You, saints, are heirs of the kingdom, just as they are. Jerusalem is your holy city, just as it's their city. The Messiah is your Messiah, because that's what Christ means. Are you following me? And all this is because of the love and grace of God. So we'll tie it together this way. Each of those characters in the story had a response to the king. Herod had one response, very characteristic of much of the world. And the Magi had another. And you and I are called to respond. In last week's Gospel of John, it said, to all who believed in him, to all who received him, him being Jesus, who believed in his name, he gave the right or the authority or the power to become the children of God, to become his heirs. To all who received him, the Magi, these Gentiles from afar, received him. The ones who should have didn't. This morning, Elena is bearing public witness. The Heaters are bearing public witness to this reception of this Jesus, who is the King of the Jews, but who indeed is the King of all kings, as our children said today. Receive him, and then respond as the Magi, and bring your gifts. Don't be cheap with the King. Bring all that you are. Bring your best as we serve him until he comes and brings his reign of peace. In Jesus' name, we look forward to that. Amen.